Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. How are you? Welcome to the show today. That prayer heals. We are very excited about what's going to be discussed on today's program. We'll start with prayer, and I will introduce myself as the host. I'm Pastor Diane. And I'm very happy that you joined us today. Let's always pray them. And we will just start with praise God, who is love. Praise God, who is love. Praise God. I just wanted to start with a few seconds praising, and sometimes it's good just to stop what you have them in your heart. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Father, we for bringing us together here on another day, a good day. Hallelujah. A day that we have awakened, we have our eyes to see, ears to hear, and we can walk and talk and smell. That's beautiful, Father. Thank you for choosing us to be on this earth for such a time. Now, a lot of people might be thinking, getting on my nerve, I'm tired, I'm ready for it to begin. Well, first of all, as a Christian, you should be praying that it's already ended. As Christians, we are supposed to be praying things away because God gave us the power and authority to be able to do that. I write about that. Read that scripture, Luke 10:19, that says God has given us the power to do. I'm going to read it again. Luke 19 says, behold, power spread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. For Father, in saying that, we thank you. You're covered in the blood, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you for keeping the evils of this day far from us. And thank you for enlarging our territory. And as we pray and speak on this day, we are not interrupted by any satanic or demonic. Thank you for speaking through our vocal cord, allowing it to be all of you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Okay. Again, I welcome you to the show today. And just say a couple of words. I'll just say a couple. You know, I like to talk about health and I like to talk about business. But let me just say this, a couple of words about reminding you that since we're in the heat of the summer, the water, a lime, squeeze it in your water and give it a taste. You can also do an orange. If you like oranges, you can do orange as well. And just do something to make the water taste better so you can drink it. You say, well, I want something sweet. Have a sweet tooth. Should have that stevia. Don't use that other stuff. All names. Blue and yellow and pink stevia. I'll spell it for you. S-T, S like Sam, C like Mom, P like Edward, V like Victor, I, A like Apple. Or Truvia. T-R-U-V-I-A. Okay? So, P like Tom, R like Robert, Q like Underwood, and A like Apple. Go to the store, you should find it in the grocery store, in the health food section. Most groceries have health food sections. Probably won't find it. Probably won't find it in the. Go to a grocery store. They should have it. Sure about stores like both. Not sure about those. They probably do. If they have a health food section, they probably do. Okay. So, and then the other thing is, you are going to eat better. Some things you can eat and you don't have to kick back on, and that is eating organic food. Now, if you're eating watermelon, anything with a hard core on it, you don't have to buy organic. You don't have to buy organic oranges. You do not have to buy an organic watermelon. Grapefruit. You don't have to get organic grapefruit. Even though they sell them in the store, you don't have to get them because they have a hard core on it. It's highly unlikely that they, the spray that they spray on the food that's not good for us to consume in our bodies, that spray, highly unlikely that it will get to you. So that situation, don't even worry about the fact that I'm getting an orange. I want it to be organic. You can still get organic oranges. You feel better doing that, but you don't have to because they won't. It will not penetrate into the hardcore fruit. Okay, so remember that. And I want to remind you, if you have not filled out your senses, do so. Senses, filling out the senses will help them decide what to go in your area. If they don't know that there's a lot of people in your area, but yet you need the street fish, they will skip you and say, well, they don't need it because we don't see a lot of people in this area. So go ahead and fill out your census if you haven't done that already. Report. They just want to know how many people is in the area so that they will know how to direct the funding for your community. Okay? So, haven't done that, make a note to do that. A reminder to fill out your census. All right. Let's get right into it. This will be a short session. Okay? We want to just let you know or bring out the awareness of understanding Psalms 23 and Psalm 93. All the Psalms are good. Psalm 23, for some reason, people want to read it out of the King James Version. So I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version, and it helps you to explain why it's a prosperity. Prosperity is not only money. Prosperity means you're healthy in your body. It means that you have food to eat. You're prospering and your bills are always paid. So there are other ways that you can prosper. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 23 in the Amplified. I'm going to read it. I'll go through it slowly. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. Lack. So, for a funeral, a dead person does not have to worry about being dead and guided and killed it. So think about that. So if you're a ministry or a pastor, happen to be listening, I'm not donating anybody, I'm not being demeaning, I'm simply saying I've heard so many pastors and so many ministers use this as a funeral psalm or a passage. Scriptural passage, and it's not. So if you know someone that's doing it in love, pull them over to the side and say, hey, why don't you think about not doing it? Okay? All right. So let's go to verse 2. It says, he makes me to lay down in fresh green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, still and restful waters. Okay? And now I can see why people might think that this is funeral passage. Not. Okay? He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Lies, not dead. If you don't have an Amplified, you can go online and read or download the the that it has online. So if you want to use this in a Bible study, you can do that. But please don't use it at a funeral. Okay? All right, and then it says, not for my earnings, but for his name's sake. Next verse 4 says, yea, yes. Though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, meaning that there may be things that come my way, and it looks really dark, like I can't really get through, or I can't really do what I'm supposed to do. That's a dark place in my life, but it's not talking about death. It's dying. It's not talking about death. It says, I will fear, let me read it all together. Okay, I'll read it. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunlit valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Okay, so then he's with me. So I don't fear. Even though this I'm in this place that it seems like it's a difficult spot, I'm going to be okay because you're with me. Okay, well, if you're dead, you don't need him to be with you. Okay, well, hopefully you're going to see him. What I'm saying, so, of course, that's not it. Your rod protects and your staff is to guide. They comfort me. You don't need his rod and his staff to comfort you. Dead. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay, that's beautiful. Beautiful. You anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup, unduly or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the list of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be dwelling place. Okay, let me pass it again. Surely or only goodness. Surely or only goodness. Failing love shall follow me all the days of my life. Talking about still living. You know, all the days of your life. Goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life here on this earth. Not that you're dead. You don't need nothing to follow you if you're going up to heaven. That's already taken care of. You got your mansion and you living on your gold street, so you don't have to worry about things. Okay? So this is talking about, you're prosperous because you are, it says, surely goodness or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of, and you're going to be with me. You're going to protect me. You're going to feed me. You're going to guide me. You're going to shield me. So if you're dead, you don't need all of that, right? You don't need any leading. You don't need anything if you're dead. So this is talking about a person who is alive. So remember that the 23rd Psalm is not a funeral psalm. It's a psalm for people who are living, for people who are these psalms to be again. Why? They are in the Bible for Christians to follow as a life guide. But why should we follow them? Because God wants you to know that he said he would never leave us or forsake us. Right about it. Okay? If he will never leave us or forsake us, that's why it's here. He wants you to know, hey, I got my rod and my staff. They're going to lead you down the road of where you should go. So no worries. Worry. There are some people who like to worry. They put everything as a worry. It's going to be a worry. Okay? Don't worry. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Okay. I think we got that one. Let's go to the big one. Psalm 91. And you can listen to this more than once if you didn't get it. Listen to it, hear it, read it. Download it off the internet if you don't have an Amplified Bible. And you will get to see that it's nice. He's talking about goodness and mercy. God has mercy. Or you make accounting and say, oh my goodness, Sally, you made three big mistakes last week. Not doing that. That God doesn't do that. You don't have to worry. He loves you. He loves us. All right. Big 91. Psalm 91. If you're taking notes, read Psalm 91 along with me. Stopping it this week. I may do a little reading in. Okay? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to say El Shaddai. The Almighty El Shaddai. Okay? Almighty. Another name for God. El Shaddai means the Almighty God. Righty? And it's good to know that. Hebrews. Okay. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. So when you Psalm 91, you say Almighty. So that's El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. Okay. Let's go to the 2. Number 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on Him I lean and rely, in Him. Listen to version of 1 in the Amplified as well. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe. You're under God, doing what God has asked you to do. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to say, oh, woe is me. What are we going to do? Oh, they said it's going to be a flood. What are we going to do? Do you have to worry? You're a child of God. What are you supposed to do? If He gave you the power, what do? Blood, you're not coming here by this house. This house is covered in the blood. We are not going to be flooded out of our house. You have what you say. Say it and believe it. So I'm going to say it. I don't know if it works or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. No, that's not faith. That's to say it and believe. Surely He shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. So what are we going through now? A pandemic. So we're going through a pandemic. So what does He say? Let me read this again. For then He will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. See, that's why we have to read this Bible. If you're sitting there and you say, well, what am I doing? We've been in the house. Well, I'm wondering how many people was reading the Bible while they were. There were weeks where we had to stay here. We couldn't go out. Okay, it was to grab back groceries and come right back in. However, how many of us was trying to find out who we are, what can we do, how can we protect ourselves? Sure, you're wearing a mask, but the mask is not going to protect you. You're a Christian. I wore the mask because they asked us to. They said it was mandatory. But that mask, I'm not wearing this mask so nobody won't affect me. You're not in His word. You don't have the sense to feel that way. You know, you say, I hear people say, oh, boy, I just don't want to get sick. You're a Christian. You're a supernatural human being. Why would you get sick? God does not have sickness. So if He's not sick and we're supposed to be in His image, why would you want to get sick? Why would you be afraid to get sick? If you are supposed to be in His image, you have power. But you know what? There's so many Christians who do not know who they are. They don't know. We don't know who we are. So we're afraid. to the news, and they're, ooh, more people have been infected. And we're like, oh, breaking out. Oh. So, you know what? Don't play that in addition. Not at all. Not at all. Okay, let's go to verse 4. He shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. Or in the Amplified, then we will cover you with his pinions. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. Hang out with God. Hang out with, I like to call the big guy. Hang out with the big guy. You ain't got to worry about nothing. No worries. We use that word a lot, but are you really not worrying? You can get depressed about sitting and speaking about, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Or people are infected, oh my goodness, what do I do? You will just drive yourself insane by wondering about all of this. That's why you have to get into the Word. His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and buckler. He's shielding you. God wants to shield us. He's saying, if you believe and have faith, you better know coronavirus is coming near, even near your door. Let alone touching you, it can't come near your door. But you got to believe. That's the key. Faith. You're afraid. Oh, my goodness. They said, no, that's not it. Okay. 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that we shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots, slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction, sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noon. Don't worry about it. Well, why are we worrying if he's telling us don't worry? Now, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of the reporters who are not, basically, they're not Christian? There may be somebody out there who's Christian, but you wouldn't know it from the way they're talking. We are the Christians. They should be listening to us. They should be coming to us saying, what should we do? But the Christians are just as afraid as they are. And I'm like, my goodness, whoa. Come near you. It won't come near you. 8 says, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Okay, let's go to the Amplified. 7 and 8 is saying, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible, secret place of the Most High, the reward of the wicked. This is legit. What you want. Okay? So that's why it's good to be lined up. Are you walking in the love of God? You know, are you? And I tell people, I say, that, you know, they, people will, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. I am. Part of can't hold, withhold your money. Hold on to what I got. I, or give an offering if you haven't got a paycheck. Offering. This is the time to love on God and say, God, I want to show you that I trust. Is it easy? You're not doing it the first time you do it. Hard. But it gets easier as you do it. God will, he shows you all kinds of things. I was sharing with someone, I think I shared it yesterday or maybe another day, and it was in Huntsville. Of course. They saw us, went into a store, and my, yeah, my down. So she would say, oh, I want that dress. So she said, yeah. I said, well, you have. Told me what you had, and I said, well. And I sold a seat for her to get that purse. Her purse was brand new. And this person, she just lost her spouse. And I, so, hey, something. Go ahead. It's the first. 2 weeks later. Hear me now. Less than 2 weeks later, I said nothing to nobody about a purse. I didn't say anything. Donated purse for a Dooney and Burke purse. Was donated to me $400 purse. That was my return. That's my return because I sold someone else. I wasn't looking for. This actually, to be honest with you, I wanted one of the purses too. And I said, well, if I, this isn't. You know, I didn't do it because I was looking for. Oh boy, blah, blah, blah. I didn't do that. But God knows how to make sure it's blessed. Sow the seed and don't worry about what. Oh my, I think I have to hold on to this. Got you. Okay? All right, let's move. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation, come near our dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Okay? Talk about it. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your refuge, Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Your tent is your house. Come near where you're dwelling. No evil or calamity will come near you. So understand that. For he will give his angels, especially, charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your use and service. This is okay. 7, verse 11. For he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. Isn't that something? Now, when you said yes to accepting guardian angels, how often do you dispatch your angel? Do your angel have cobwebs on them? Your angels have cobwebs on. That's the case. Psalm 91, you will dispatch your angel. They sit there and wait on you to give them something to do. If you don't give them something to do, they just sit there. And how do you give them something to do? Bring his word. Bring me my, I want a house. Bring me my house. Ministering angels go forth. It's not a magical thing. You have to say it. If you don't say it just one time, and you have to be consistent. You can't just say it once a week. I'm going to read my Bible once a week, and I'm going to say that, and it's coming. It's something else. Wait, see, some more. If you're doing it like that. Consistency is what will bring you revelation, knowledge, and your manifestation. Consistency. It's been a while. When I go to church, all right, when I go to church, I'm going to say it. Say it all the time. Every day, 7 days a week. Okay, now I'm going to finish this in 12, 16. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. They bear you up, they They will be right there making sure you're not going to be harmed. But you got to dispatch them. If you don't dispatch them, they're not going to do anything. They're still looking at you. And why won't they use me? Most people don't even know they have an angel. You have an angel. When you became a born-again Christian, we're talking about born-again Christians. If you want these promises, you have to say yes to accepting Jesus. You have to become a born-again Christian. You do that by reading and through teaching in 1 John 1, 9. You say that, you are a Christian. It's the Spirit. Jesus comes and lives on the inside of you. Yes. It heals on the inside of you. Then you become, you have the anointing on the inside of you. And you become a supernatural. No longer natural. Doesn't mean you're perfect. You're not perfect. You got work to do. Trying to process. Remember that. Those churches that tell people, when you get born again, you're supposed to be doing this and you're supposed to be doing that and you shouldn't do this anymore. Listen, it's a lifetime process. That's not giving you, we're under grace now in the New Testament. We're under grace, but that's not giving you a reason to keep doing the stuff that you did before you became a born again Christian. You're supposed to be working your way off of every year than I was last year. I'm going to be better next year than I am this year. That's the way it goes. You're going to get better and better and better and better. You don't just jump instantly perfect. That doesn't happen because you become born. Stand that and acknowledge that. Okay. Number 13 says, you shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample the feet. Because you have power and authority, you can always have them to have power over you. You have power over the enemy. Never forget that. He'll make you think he has all the power, but he does not. To say that again, the devil will make you think he has all the power. He does not. Verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because known my name. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, kindness, trust, and relies on me. Knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. You have to know that about God. Never, never, never. Verse 15 and 16, the two last verses. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him or her. I will be with him or her in trouble. I will deliver him or her and honor him or her. With long life will I satisfy him or her and show them my salvation. I want to say it again. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. What is he saying? He says, you have long life. I love you more than you can imagine. And I am not taking off the face of this earth. He doesn't take babies. He doesn't take children. Your spouse, God did not take your spouse. Did not take your mother, your father, your grandparents. Didn't do that. I hear people say that all the time, you know, when you know God. Ready for my grandmother, and he took her. Ready for my mom. Wanted to go, I guess. Took on. No, he didn't. He did not. He did not. He did not take your friend. I had a good friend. Ooh, how old was she? She was 36. And I took. No, he didn't. the word says in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 3, that most people don't know is there because they won't read the Bible. We're not supposed to leave this earth until we are 120 years old. So if you believe the Bible and you believe his word won't return void, and he can't go against his word, then he does not take people. God does not take people. Devil does. Get it. He'll come back and get some more as long as you don't know it's him. God needs this Bible. This is our lifeline. The Bible. It's our lifeline. World without it. We got pandemics, we got colds, we got flus, we got viruses. You need a savior. Need God. You need God. All right. 3 and 9 wanted to help you to understand in the Bible and understand why we should follow it and how we should follow it. Okay? If you have any questions in the comment section, write a comment. Try to answer you. You can send me an email at G like George, E like Edward. Christian is written out. I S T like Tom, I A N. Christian. Church. So it again. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A. Like Apple N, like man. C like Tom. A-N. Christian is spelled out. Church. Of course, church is spelled C like Carol, H like Harry, U like Underwood, R like Robert, C like Carol, H like Harry, at gmail.com. Send me an email and let me know if this is helping you. When you listen to this, let me know if this is helping you. Did you get anything out of what was said? I would like to know that. If you have some issues going on, let me know that too. And these are things we can talk about. I just told you yesterday we talked a little bit about depression. We want you not to be all upset. This pandemic going on, we don't want anybody to be depressed. If you lost a loved one, enemy will come and try to make it think it was your fault, something you didn't do. Don't do that. If you lost a spouse, you know, you're lonely, I understand. My people, when they lost a loved one and they want to, you know, think about suicide. Don't even think those thoughts. Those are not thoughts for you. Don't think those thoughts, okay? That's why we have a Bible. Word, it'll give you peace. So a lot of people, I don't want to hear that. It's okay to have somebody you can call and talk to help you feel better. Do that. Talk to God. God is right there. He never goes to sleep. He's open 24 hours. He's awake. Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit. What you said yesterday, accepting God loves you, and so do I. We're going to say the closing prayer. And anybody who wants to give their life to Christ, remember that the promises that we're talking about, you cannot have access to until you say yes to accepting. He wants to be your friend. He doesn't force you to do anything. You've got a free will. But it's good to have a friend. So if you want to be God's friend, not a churchy friend. I'm not one of those persons. That's good. And I say, all you're doing is saying, Jesus, come on. I want you to be my friend. I want somebody to talk to at night. That's what you're saying. Okay? And so I'm going to read this. No, I don't have a Bible right now. But if you say this to me, I'm getting ready to forgive you. Verse 9 says, this is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt save. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 9. The mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart, and with the mouth, I'm sorry, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The last verse is, it's only three sentences, so it takes you, what, less than a minute? And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, well, I feel like Jesus. Say, God, I repent. Take my life as something shortcut. First John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's step one. Saying that, coming to born again Christians, it's involved with a Bible teaching church. Bible teaching church, not the church grandma and them went to, and they've been there 10 years, and they got, you know, a handful of people, and they're not really growing. Come on. Go to a Bible church so you what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm not talking about anybody's church. I'm just saying, if you want to grow, that's what you're going to have to do. Have to go to a Bible church. Go and get baptized. You feel baptized already and you've been in church. You're not in the Bible teaching church. You need to get with God and say, God, where do you expect me to a Bible teaching church? Because all the, you say, well, I give all the time and nothing happens. If you are not in a Bible teaching church, nothing will happen. They'll say you're blue in the face. Nothing will happen if you're not in a Bible teaching church. Why? Well, why is that so important? Because you're sowing in bad ground. You have to sow into good ground. It's just like a farmer. If they plant seeds in the bad ground, it ain't coming up. They're not going to get a crop through the land and make the ground like it should be. Because if they don't do that, then it won't produce like it should. Well, we're the same way. You won't produce a harvest if you're sitting in a church that's not teaching the word. You've got to get the word and the understanding of what it is you are reading. So we're going to go deeper in, you know, get this Bible out here as much as we can. Because people are suffering and hurting and sick because they don't know what to do. But the Bible, start with chapter 1 and verse 1 of New Testament. If you have not ever read the Bible cover to cover, now is the time to do it. This pandemic is only the beginning. If you don't, I'm not talking about go to the end of the Bible and read that. Because can I tell you something? That's not going to help you. Because all the information is not in the book of Revelation. A lot of people say, I read the Bible. Oh, you did. What did you? I haven't read the book of Revelation. I know what's going to know you. Don't. Somebody write a book that thick and put everything in the back of the book. Come on now, let's give me a break. People that say that, I'm like, what, you know, what side of the bed did you get up on? Okay, do yourself a favor and read the Bible so you won't be frightened. You know what's going to happen. You know what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. Okay? Father, in the name of those that are listening, all that happened today. Thank you for that word. That your word is so good. Just appreciate you sharing your word. For vocal cords and the prayer. is going to be first. I call you right now. Man, you to go now. I declare there's no depression in you. Your household has no depression in it. No thoughts of suicide. You are healed as I speak right now. Hear the sound of my voice. You will not be depressed. Pray that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. This is healing session. Every time we come on, we do. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed, and remember that Jesus is Lord.